1220 The Word, or Salem Communications.
Hi, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's toll free, 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here is your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us and join in the conversation. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you today. You can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We can get you on the air here this afternoon with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. Let's go ahead and get started with a word of prayer here this afternoon. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air today. Father, we just ask that you would use the program today for your glory. We just think of the things that are happening in the world, and we know that certainly we live in troublesome times, but also we know that we're living in the last days and that we look forward to the soon return of Jesus Christ. We just pray that you'd help us now to be a blessing and to be an encouragement to people today and point people to Christ, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, of course, here it is. Nice Friday afternoon here in Northeast Ohio. The weather is absolutely gorgeous. It's just unusual, really, for us to have such an extended period of time. You know, people in other parts of the country, in other parts of the world, have, you know, extended periods of nice sunny weather and no rain and nice temperatures. But Northeast Ohio, this must be a sign of the last days to get this many good days in a row as we've been enjoying, and a number of good days yet forecast for the weekend and going into next week. It's just exciting. It's really nice. Leaves are starting to change color here in Northeast Ohio. It's beautiful. And if you get a chance to get out and enjoy it this weekend, I encourage you to do so. But like I said, you're listening to Live with Pastor Al. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here this afternoon. I start out with something here before we get into the rest of everything here this afternoon. In Moore, Oklahoma, it's a suburb of Oklahoma City, I believe, they are looking into an incident here that I bring this up in light of what's been happening. If you've been following the news, of course, you see how that we have been using airstrikes now going after the Islamic State, whether you want to call it ISIS or ISIL or whatever. They call themselves the Islamic State, and their goal is to establish a caliphate, which literally is an Islamic-ruled nation, and eventually they want to control all of the Middle East, all of the areas that formerly were under Muslim control, which would stretch across now the Middle East and up into the areas of Spain and Portugal and other parts of Europe, and eventually to the whole world. They're very open about saying that they eventually want to see the flag of the Islamic State flying over the White House. And they have been calling, since we've been doing these airstrikes, for attacks inside of the United States, inside of Europe, inside of other countries. And Australia just this past week, had broken up a plot where they had a number of jihadis, Islamic fundamentalists, that had a plot to randomly attack and behead people on the streets in Australia. And the reason I bring that up is there's a breaking story. It just came out today. Or actually, I guess it did come out. Looking at it a little bit last night, maybe, in Moore, Oklahoma, outside of Oklahoma City. There was an individual who, they're kind of painting it as he was fired from a company, a food processing company, food distribution plant, and he attacked. He left the front office area, and he attacked this 54-year-old woman with a knife and actually beheaded her. And then he was attacking a 43-year-old woman and stabbing her repeatedly. And the CEO, I believe it is, one of the guys with the business there who was armed, he actually shot this individual, which prevented him from doing this. Now, the reason I bring this up and suspect that it's more than just workplace violence is the FBI is looking into this incident because this individual that did the beheading is a Muslim who was trying to convert others where he worked to Islam. And so we see this, and we see the urging of the Islamic State spokespeople urging what they call lone wolf Islamic attacks in the West. And it's gonna, I'm sure, be painted as nothing more than workplace violence. And the fact that he's a Muslim has nothing to do with it. And of course, if you listen to our government is trying to say that Islam has nothing to do with the Islamic State. I was listening to a audio or a video clip with the Secretary of State John Kerry, who was saying in the clip that ISIL or ISIS or the Islamic State, whichever you choose to use, is an enemy of Islam. And then later on, saying he claimed that they have nothing to do with Islam, and then later on claimed that they don't even have a religious outlook. Well, here's a problem. In the Quran, in Surah 5, verse 33, the Bible said, or the Quran, I'm sorry, the Quran says, the punishment for those of those who wage war against Allah and His Messenger and strive with might and vain for mischief through the land is execution or crucifixion. And of course, execution at that time would have been crucifixion. We understand that Jesus was crucified, but execution most likely would have been beheaded with a sword or an axe. In the Quran, Surah 8 and verse 12, it says, I, Allah, will instill terror into the hearts of the unbelievers, smite ye above their necks and smite off all their smite all their fingertips off. Smiting above the necks means with a sword or something to take off their head. Then in here's Surah 47, and Surah basically is chapters. And Surah 47 verse 4 says, therefore, when you meet the unbelievers in as in a fight, strike off their heads at length, and then when you've made wide slaughter among them, carefully tie up the remaining captives. Therefore is the time for either generosity or ransom till the war lays down its burdens. And then in, let's see, I believe this is Surah 9, verse 123. Ye who believe, murder those of the disbelievers. Let them find harshness in you. And then, of course, there's Surah 2, verse 191. Kill them wherever you find them and drive them out from wherever they drove you out. Surah 2, verse 193, fight them on until there is no more tumult and religion becomes that of, or all religion becomes that of Allah. And then Surah 8, verse 17 is not ye who slew them, but Allah, and thou, Muhammad, threwest not when thou didst throw, but Allah threw that he might test the believers by a fair test from him. Talking about the fighting here. Let's see, one more, the verse of the sword in Surah 9, verse 29, fight those who do not believe in Allah and the last day, fight the people of the book, that would be Christians and Jews, who do not accept the religion of truth, that would be Islam, until they pay tribute by hand being inferior. And there's a lot others there, and it's not just in the Quran, it's also in the Hadith, and see, they were actually doing these things prior to our airstrikes. The United States was not even in existence when Muhammad had hundreds of Jews that he had captured beheaded in front of him while he spent the afternoon with some of his wives watching the festivities as they beheaded these Jews that were captured in front of him He had them beheaded because they didn't recognize him as a prophet of God. And so it's throughout the Quran. It's throughout the Hadith. And then, of course, in the Hadith, you see examples of what Muhammad did and said and all of that. And so religion absolutely has everything to do with what's going on with the Islamic State. And not just them, because we need to understand the Islamic State is an extension of Al-Qaeda, and Al-Qaeda was formed out of the Muslim Brotherhood. And when you look at the Wahhabist out of Saudi Arabia and all of these different groups, they're all interrelated. They're all fundamentalist Islamic groups. They're groups who, because they read the Quran and the Hadith, and they take them literally, and they interpret them as to mean what they say, they practice it. And for our administration, our president, and our secretary of state, and our other officials to say this has nothing to do with religion, and that this is an aberration of Islam, it's the same thing to say that somebody who calls themselves a Christian, who never goes to church, who does not believe the Bible is literally the Word of God, who doesn't believe in heaven and hell, or at least not in hell, who does not believe the gospel message, who does not believe that anything in the Bible is really much more than just myths and parables and good stories. You know, that's to say that that is what Christianity is, what historic Christianity is. And if you take that position, then you'd have to say that somebody who believes the Bible is literally the Word of God, given to us by God himself and preserved for us to read, to know the mind of God, that this is that people who go to church, that people who pray, people who worship God, people who believe that you need to trust Christ as your Savior in order to have your sins forgiven so that you can go to heaven, that there is a real heaven and a real hell. If you take this administration's view of the jihadists over in the Middle East, that's to say that Bible-believing Christians are not real Christians, and that they have nothing to do with the Bible. Well, that's obviously ridiculous. We know that that's a ridiculous thought. Obviously, somebody who reads the Bible, somebody who practices what the Bible teaches, somebody who assembles together with other believers, as the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, somebody who tries to spread the Word of God, obviously somebody who has trusted Christ as their Savior, we know that that is what the Bible defines a Christian as. Somebody who doesn't do those things is a false Christian. And so obviously the person who follows the Quran, follows the Hadith, does what Muhammad did, that person is the real Muslim. And those who say that Islam has nothing to do with what's going on with these jihadist groups, they're the ones who don't go to the mosque, don't study the Quran, don't pray to Allah. They're the ones who are the false Christians. Well, we can talk about these things and more, and we've got our phone lines lighting up, so we're going to jump into our phone calls here. You're listening to Live with Pastor Al. 888-677-9673 is the number, and Jeremiah, welcome to the program here today.
Yes, how you doing, Pastor Al?
Very good. How are you doing?
It says you said something about assembling. You said assemble in church.
Right.
You know, it's where they're supposed to be, assemble in church, the rest of the congregation and fellow believers.
Right, believers. Yeah, that's what in Hebrews chapter 10 it talks about, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. It talks about being important, especially the closer we get to the return of Christ.
I'm going to be at my church this Sunday.
Oh, good. And I would urge all of our listeners to make plans to be in church this Sunday and assemble together with fellow believers. And if you don't have a church, we certainly invite people to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, where I'm the pastor.
Well, like to praise the Lord for answered prayer. I prayed about something a couple of days ago, and this morning my prayer was answered. So I'd just like to praise the Lord for that.
Well, amen. That's a great thing to know that God answers prayers. And, you know, that's another benefit of the local church is we can pray for each other.
He answers prayers.
Yes. Yes. Well, I appreciate that, Jeremiah.
Okay.
And I appreciate the call there. And we're going to get to our next caller here as well. We've got Nancy waiting as well. And Nancy, welcome to Live with Pastor Al.
Hi, Pastor Al. Once again, I want to thank you for that wonderful anniversary Sunday with Eric Hallett, that excellent food and the good fellowship. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're glad you were able to be out with us.
Blessing. And Carol, my friend that went with me, she says, you know, Eric Howard, he could be earning a lot more money if he was in a secular world because he has such a gorgeous voice, deep resonance with such a huge range, but he is choosing to serve the Lord. So that was just such a blessing. And but today I wanted to ask you, I was listening to Pastor John Lutz's show with Jean Piazza, and they're talking about the Catholic faith. And very, very informative, very excellent, and very clear presentation of about the Catholic Church. And like you said, and other preachers say, they love the Catholics, but they know that there's so much error in their faith. And I witnessed to a lot of people just sort of spontaneously, like, you know, at the pool and in the neighborhood, mm-hmm. at the store or whatever. And so I often start out and I say, Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. So I'm just really concerned about your eternal destiny and hoping that you are a Christian. And so many of them say, well, yes, I'm a Christian. I'm a Catholic. So right. I have different ways of approaching that. Like I'll use 1 Timothy 2:5. You know, who do you pray to? Do you pray to Mary? Do you pray to the saints? 1 Timothy 2:5, there's one God, one mediator between God and man,
right.
Jesus. And I go in that direction. But if you have any other good ideas, when they think, they truly think they're Christians, they're going to heaven, but they're Catholic, can you think of something just, you know, maybe I haven't thought of to say?
And that kind of ties in with what I was talking about Islam as well. Very religious, but lost. And when you look at this and talking about true Christians versus people who think they're Christians, here's a passage in 1 John chapter 5.
Mm-hmm.
In 1 John chapter 5, and I'm going to read verse 13 here. In verse number 13, it says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And a lot of Catholics will be quick to tell you that you cannot know for sure that you're going to heaven.
Use that a lot with them. I do use that. That's an important verse because
either you believe the Bible or you don't. Mm-hmm. And when you were talking about one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, that's an important verse as well because they have elevated Mary to be a mediator along with Christ. And in fact, I believe in the Catholic Catechism, they even call her the co-mediatrix, something along those mediatrix, something of that nature, meaning that she helps mediate between God and man. And this idea that we have a no-so salvation. And that comes straight from the Word of God. And, you know, the Bible says that people have made the Word of God of none effect by the tradition of men. And that's a problem because, see, in Roman Catholicism, they've elevated the tradition of men to the same level. They call that the unwritten Word of God. And they've elevated the same level as the written Word of God. And the problem is, it's just like if you remember the old book Animal House, where, you know, all the animals supposedly started this communistic society.
That movie. Excellent.
Yeah, yeah. I remember the book when I was younger in high school. And the idea was all the animals were equal, but some were more equal than others.
Yes.
And you get that in any kind of statist sort of organization or government. But the reason I brought that up is They say that the written word of God and the unwritten word of God are equal. It's just that the unwritten word of God is more equal than the written. And so they tend to go with the unwritten word of God. And see, they have a system, and let me draw some parallels since I was talking about Islam before. They, they of course, preceded Islam. And in fact, much of what the Quran and the Hadith observe about Christianity is really taken from Catholicism, and even then not very well. But what they both do is they have a system in place where you can, in Islam, you can abrogate earlier things. The later revelations, they say, abrogate the newer or the earlier revelations. And Catholicism does the same thing.
Abrogate means? What does abrogate mean?
It means it supersedes. It makes the previous null and void, and it supersedes that. And Roman Catholicism has the same system in place. Because, see, the Pope can speak ex cathedra, I believe is the phrase, and what he says literally abrogates something that was said earlier. See, the Roman Catholic Church, when it came into being in the 4th century, they originally practiced baptism by immersion. Later on, they switched it to sprinkling. And they practiced other things that later on they replaced. And without getting in all the details, I know the program before us, Gene Piazza was talking about that from experience. And, of course, having been a Catholic, he has a lot of experience with that. But we understand that the church that advertises itself as changing not changes all the time. And they elevated Mary to, you know, perpetual virginity and without sin and a co-mediatrix and a co-redemptress and all these things that are not in the Bible. But see, all the Pope has to do is give a statement, just like the current Pope, who on Vatican Radio a month or so ago said that atheists can now get to heaven by doing good works. If they do good works, whether or not they believe in God, they're going to go to heaven. See, he's doing the same thing that the Muslims do. He's abrogating previous teaching and changing it. Now, see, let me give another example. The Mormons do the same thing. They do the same thing. They take the Bible and they say that the Book of Mormon, when the Book of Mormon that was written after the Bible, it was actually plagiarized from a piece of fiction in the 1800s, but they say that the Book of Mormon, when it contradicts what's in the Bible, you go with the Book of Mormon because it was written later. Then they have the Pearl of Great Price and the Doctrine and Covenants, and if something in that it contradicts the Bible or the Book of Mormon, you go with them. And then whatever the current prophet and president of the Mormon Church says, if it goes against any of those other things, you go with that because it's later. See, the Catholics do the same thing. The written word of God is not their final authority. Isaiah said, to the law and to the testimony. And that's what we need to do. If they don't agree with those things, there's no light in them. And the Berean believers were nobler, Paul said, than those at Thessalonica because they searched the scriptures. Paul said something and they didn't accept it just because he said it. They wanted it verified in the scriptures. And instead, in all these false religions such as Mormonism, Catholicism, and Islam, they're asking you to set aside the scriptures when there's a contradiction. You go with whatever their leadership says, whatever their specific writings say, and you ignore the written word of God. No, we need to get back to the law and to the testimony. It's the words of life. It's the words that give us the knowledge of the gospel and of salvation. Hey, I appreciate the question there, Nancy. We're just about out of time here today.
Thank you.
And maybe
thank
some you, of the things Pastor. We talked about, we didn't get into some specific verses too much, but maybe the philosophy there, just understanding where they're coming from. They need to know, they need to be grounded and rooted in the Word of God. The Word of God is our foundation, and that's why it's so important. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Hey, we're out of time, and hope to see you at church. God bless.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by calling 330-659-6561 or by writing Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Pastor Al invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday night at 6. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express from 7 to 9. You can learn more about Pastor Al and the Bible Baptist Church online at live.maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation with Pastor Al this Sunday night at 11 p.m. and again next Friday afternoon at 1:30 on AM 1220 The Word. The preceding program has been sponsored by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield.
The preceding program's views